Remembering Dick Stahl again on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. Today we continue our tribute to the Quad Cities' first poet laureate on Scribble. You think it's excessive to spend so much time on one person?
I don't. I think we could spend even more than I think we're going to spend. It's like reading everything an author wrote. You get a whole different view of that author than if you read one of his books. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and most people have maybe read one or two books by a writer, unless you're a mystery writer and you like Louise Penny.
Yeah.
But even there, you haven't read everything she wrote. And that's a whole different experience. So I think, you know, Dick can stand for a lot of different poets. And what we say about Dick and poetry, I think, can be true of poetry in general. So.
Okay, well, our second interview with him, and we only had two over the years, which in a sense is kind of surprising. But that was about the publication of his book on bluffing. And we will hear that interview now as we recaptured it and want to reproduce it for you. Dick Stahl, good to see you again.
Thank you. Good to be here.
What is all this bluffing stuff?
Well,
I mean, really.
What is it all about?
Yeah.
Well, it's something that started after my wife and I read some magazines, Big River Magazine, and in one of the early ones, I think it was 2003, they had a map of all the bluffs on the upper Mississippi River from Minneapolis down to Iowa. And my wife and I just thought it would be a good adventure to start climbing. And so we did. And the result, many years later, is this book that is entitled Bluffing.
Climbing?
Climbing.
I mean, isn't that doing it the hard way?
Yes. And I think one of the early editions of Big River, Reggie McLeod, the editor, pointed out, I think it was 24 bluffs that were accessible to the public. There are more that maybe keep out. But
not necessarily safe, right?
No, he didn't say safe.
No.
He said they're publicly accessible, which means that some of them you can drive up easily with a car, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And some you have to walk, and, you know, maybe it's a mile or so, but it's not too steep. It's not too bad. And follow the trail. Here it is. But some you have to actually climb, and sometimes up wooden steps or sometimes up a very steep incline. So you're never sure what to expect. You're never sure, is this an easy one or a hard one? There is one in Minnesota that at the very beginning, John A. Latch State Park, big sign says, difficult. Please believe that sign.
Yeah.
It is difficult because you're going up a wood stairs, and sometimes you have a railing, sometimes there's no railing, sometimes you're balancing yourself like on a tightrope, and so it's a long way to the top.
Well, I'm glad you explored this instead of me.
So it's the bluffs that are bluffing.
The
right?
Bluffs that are bluffing, yeah.
And the poet never bluffs.
I'm competing. I think, yes, I am. I am trying to bluff, too, I think.
Well, now, I thought, you know, I mean, Whitman, you're one of your idols,
yeah,
says absolutely without ornament. That's poetry, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's no bluffing in poetry.
No
it's
bluffing.
The truth.
No bluffing in poetry.
Well, now, that's the thing, though. You did all this, and you turned it into a book.
Mm-hmm.
Writers do that, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. And poets are a special kind of writer, so it calls for a special kind of book. You've combined a couple of elements in this, not only the poetry, but a visual aspect as well.
Yes. Each poem has a photograph. In most of the poems, you can see the river, and I think that's important. We tried to do that with every one of them, except there was one I didn't get the river. But
you took all the pictures.
Yes,
yourself?
I took all. Well, no, there are two. I think there's one exception where my wife and I are sitting down at a bench on King's Bluff, and someone else took our picture.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know, as long as you acknowledge that, you're not cheating.
I mean, it's a copyright violation.
But the poems,
the poems
that these evoked, can you give us a sample?
Sure. The first one I'd like to read is when we went to Alma, Wisconsin, and Buena Vista Park. It's a fairly easy one to climb. There isn't a lot of walking to it, but it's when you get there, it's kind of wild. You can kind of see the rocks there, and you can see the river, the trees, and so on. So it's you got to be kind of nimble here. So the name of the poem is "Why the Wiggle Waggle Wears So Well."
Mm-hmm.
I enter Wiggle Waggle Slough here in Alma to learn a water dance from the best teacher ever, the Mississippi River. From the bluff, I catch the backwater rhythm scripted along this ancient maze to spawn marine life and highly accented motion. The upper wiggle waggles in the head and shoulders, the chest and torso. I turn and twist, shimmy and snake, shaking off any sloth, while the lower wiggle waggles all legs, squats and fancy pirouettes, footwork that traces sturgeon fins and frantic mud puppy squirms. Dancing back to my car, I swing my life spirit into this mystery of connections. The young lovers who pass me hand in hand toward the overlook shake their heads. They think I'm bluffing.
Aha! Now we know where the title comes from. You also write your poems in shapes in this.
Yes, in shapes. Yes, I do sometimes. I don't know. I try to have different lines. I mean, I try to have each stanza have different lines.
Well, I saw one snaking down the page.
That was the table of contents.
That's
the table
of contents.
Oh, table.
The table does snake.
Yes, the table is a curve.
Maybe a reverse
S curve, yes. Because the river, you go to the top of the bluffs and you never know what to expect. Is the river going to be north and south here? Is it going to be an S curve? You know, what? You don't know that. I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the surprise that awaits me up there is that, you know, you can write about this bluff and the water, but you never know what you're going to expect. You never know what the climb is. You never know about the water and so on. But that makes it interesting. And then on the cover of the book,
we have
the wraparound bluff. And this was taken from Trempealeau. One morning, my wife and I were driving to Perot State Park, and all of a sudden, I saw this, and I thought, that's it. We got to get out of the car, like, now. And so I got out of the car, crossed the railroad track, and that's the picture, because the sun was just right. Everything was just right. We could get a...
Well, this is a beautiful book. In addition to being premier Dick Stahl poetry, it's lovely to look at.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we tried to make it... It's a hybrid. I'd like to think of it as more as a hybrid, maybe not so much as a poetry book, but there's just I think it has more to offer. We've got the pictures.
Well, I've read it, and I think it's a hybrid in more ways than that. It's a hybrid in that while you're on the bluffs and you're ostensibly writing about the bluffs, it's really the river that's always there, right?
And,
and in fact, you see a different river from the bluff tops than you see from down on the river in a boat.
That's right.
Yeah, you've been chronicling the river for quite a while.
Long time now. Mm-hmm. Just about every book I think I've ever done has had something to do with the river.
One question that it's sort of fun to ask poets because I think the answers all differ. What's the relationship between the experience that the poet has of the bluff or the river and the poem?
Well,
is the poem a pale imitation of the thing, or is it in some ways better than, or does it?
Commensurate with?
Well, it isn't commensurate with taking a drink of water.
It's not commensurate.
Is different from reading a poem about taking a drink of water.
Yeah, I think I just and again, my wife accompanied me on this journey. I tried to get to the bluff and to see something different about it. What's the image that kind of sticks in my mind? What's the river doing here? Is it racing? Is it a wide stretch? And do I see the water lines there? Is it very quiet? In some cases, not. I think I try to find what is the image that sticks in my mind from this particular vantage point.
So would you say the poem tries to put the experience in focus?
Yes. Yes, I think the poem tries to put my experience in focus. Sometimes you're alone. Sometimes when you go to Granddad's Bluff in La Crosse, there's a lot of people, it's a drive up. You only walk a few feet, and the place is jammed sometimes on weekends. But other places, you're kind of by yourself. No protection, no railing, no nothing. And so, there's a little bit of being scared here, maybe a little bit, you don't want to take a wrong step or step too far. And so I think what I try to write is what I see. It's not always what I look at that matters, but what do I see? What do I see from this height? So we're talking maybe 500, 600 feet up. What do I see of the Mississippi? So I'm always looking down at the trickery maybe of the Mississippi. I think
Of late you've been writing what you might call occasional poetry, occasions that elicit a poem from you. And this is a little different. These are occasions, but they're very personal. They have nothing to do with anybody else until they experience them in your poetry. So do you see this as a departure of your recent work?
Oh, somewhat, I guess. It's still the Mississippi, and my fascination is still with that. I guess I can't get away from that.
That is the broad thread that runs through all your work.
That's the silver thread that runs through all of it, yes.
Give us another bluff.
Okay. Yeah. This is another bluff.
I mean, there's a book full of them there.
Oh, I got a lot of them here. This one is in Dubuque, and I'm approaching the Julian Dubuque Monument, where Julian Dubuque is interred or buried. And so it's very, you're very high up. The Mississippi is right in front of you there. And my wife and I were there, and I took pictures. But this is kind of what I felt as I was there. So the poem is called Storming the Tower. I'm storming the tower with my army of one sharp, hard lead pencil. I hope that's enough force to sketch this lookout and scare away the hundreds gathering here who patrol in plain clothes to pay homage to this city's founder. Its round command of high ground rewards this tall Galena limestone turret with enough open eyes to see in all directions. It's so strategic, I must take it if I'm to control traffic on the Mississippi River. The closer I get, the fatter my offensive plans, the shorter the day, and the more I feel this campaign may stall. The Guardians shoot picture after picture and reload. The smell of lead permeates the whole area as I recall how Julian Dubuque led the brilliant operation called Mines of Spain. On the sidewalk now, I'm closing in with my stubby lead pencil to take this tower by complete surprise.
Is Stahl spelled STAHL there?
That's what I wondered.
I thought you were going to ask that question.
You're bluffing, Dick.
I'm bluffing. It's STALL.
Oh, you passed up a good one there.
I thought it's T-A-L-L. Yeah.
No. Well, the reader can't hear that difference.
Yeah, we both lit up on that.
I thought someone would catch that, maybe.
My
yes.
campaign stall.
How can we get a copy of the book?
The copy of the book is at the following places here. Let's see. River Lights Bookstore in Dubuque. I'm coming down river now. National Mississippi River Museum and Aquarium in Dubuque. Buffalo Bill Museum in LeClaire. Augustana College Bookstore in Rock Island. And Big River Bookstore online. And this is Reggie McLeod. And it's at 1-800-303-2201.
Okay.
Now, more may come, but not at this time. That's what I have at this time. So.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a book I think that should draw some interest.
Well, I hope so.
Are you, I've talked to you a little bit about a launch party. Have you given any more thought to that? It seems to be the in thing these
days.
Yeah,
well, perhaps at a later date. Perhaps at a later date.
Okay, well, it's whenever you do, let us know.
Okay.
Because... they usually serve things at these.
Yes, they do.
Oh, well, then we'll go.
Well, this should be a climbing party right now.
A climbing party. You got to climb.
No, you do any climbing. I will wait at the door. That's for sure. But this does this spur you on to do more things, to put more experiences into poetry?
Yes, yes.
Any ideas?
Well, there are more bluffs. Bluffs become, I don't know, lookouts now. Some of the articles refer to high, lofty lookouts. And so we might pursue some of those. But I chose these first, I think, because these were the ones that seemed to be bluffs. These were a little higher and more majestic, I think, anyway. But I can see some, I don't know. You never know what's going to happen.
Well, you're currently working on Central High School. Can you tell us briefly about that?
Central High School has a construction project, and they are constructing a new pool and a place for theater, auditorium. And so I've taken many pictures, and I've written poems, and it's kind of the same thing, only a little bit different. There I'm trying to write about construction and just what I see. Again, I'm not a civil engineer or anything like that, but just to see what I think they're doing. I have a lot of poems about the outside. I'm trying to get some poems inside. And so tomorrow, for example, I have to wear my hard hat and I have to go to the site and talk to the engineer. Mm-hmm. So I have to see what I'm trying to write about, you know.
Well, you know, if your bluffing book is any indication, your constructing book should be equally appealing.
Equally, it's a little different angle, but it's...
Well, a couple of years ago, you did the same thing for Augie when they were redoing their... the old main and the new student center and
football field. Yeah, we did
a whole series of poems.
Yes.
Well, then you are our chronicler, Dick.
So I'm a chronicler of bluffs.
Bluffs. Okay. So I mean, bluffing by
maybe it's all a bluff. The whole thing.
I hope it doesn't stall.
I hope it doesn't.
Oh dear! Yeah. It's about time for us to leave.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Dick Stahl.
You're welcome. You're
His
welcome.
New book, Bluffing, is available. A wonderful combination of beautiful pictures and poems by Dick Stahl. And that was the last time we together talked with Dick Stahl. So it's appropriate that we thanked him in our farewell. But he's not forgotten. But you haven't written a poem for him.
I don't write poetry. I can't. I try to write poetry, and I can't. I did write a little a sort of takeoff on the Dick and Jane series of books for Dick when he first went into hospice. But that's not... the kind of thing I would want to read over the air.
Well, what's a poem you would like to read over the air?
I would like to read a poem by Jane Kenyon, one of Dick's favorite poets, that is a sort of a tribute to the way in which he faced, I think, his illness. Jane Kenyon was married to the poet Donald Hall, They were married for 20 years, and suddenly, in mid-age, she developed acute leukemia and lived for another 15 months. But she is in some ways even a better poet, I think, than Donald Hall was. But she wrote a series of poems during that illness, and one of these was read at my daughter-in-law's funeral by my son out in Seattle. She died about 10 years ago from MS. When Dick went into hospice, this is the poem I thought, the way in which he met dying, I just have to admire him. And Jane Kenyon met it in the same way. Here's the poem. Let Evening Come is the title. Let the light of late afternoon shine through chinks in the barn, moving up the bales as the sun moves down. Let the cricket take up chafing as a woman takes up her needles and her yarn. Let evening come. Let dew collect on the hoe abandoned in long grass. Let the stars appear and the moon disclose her silver horn. Let the fox go back to its sandy den. Let the wind die down. Let the shed go black inside. Let evening come. To the bottle in the ditch, to the scoop in the oats, to the air in the lung, let evening come. Let it come as it will, and don't be afraid. God does not leave us comfortless, so let evening come.
Very nice. We also have a tribute to Dick Stahl from a mutual friend, Ann Bowden. Let me play that for you.
To Dick Stahl, with admiration and gratitude, June 12, 2019. Pentecost. Tongues of flame dancing, like fireflies over river channel, like leaves falling from the tree of the great word that spoke creation. And you, poet, head bared to beauty, mouth open in wonder, stand under the red tree, and its flames become your tongue. And you sing. Sing with the song of the fire and the song of the river, till our hearts burn within us, and we dare to push offshore and race down all that shining.
You know, it's interesting that Anne uses the image of singing, because that was also what Dick Stahl did in his poem.
Right.
Sing, sing, Dick Stahl, sing. It's and I guess that is the role of the poet, to sing. The odd sound there is because Anne had to do that on her telephone, but she gave us not just one poem, but two.
This poem quotes one that Dick Stahl wrote to me after he had attended one of my Emily Dickinson performances. His words apply equally, perhaps even more so, to his own work. So this is On Stage with a Writer to Dick Stahl. You are imagination on the loose, enlivened, enlarged like a family photograph, where every means of expression counts, and sent forth into the world of letters. No use to look for you under a heavy stack of books. You are always on the page, making lighter moves you wouldn't even believe. You always dwell in possibility, and living there, open every room for us inside your writing. Like the sun rising, one line at a time.
Nice tributes from Ann Bowden. She's one of many to write tributes. And I just wish we had a bunch of them. We tried to get Dale Hockey, but since we're all locked down, we could not effect a good communication. but I happened to steal a copy of his poem, one of his poems, and I'm going to presume to read it to you. There is a silence today across these quad cities, their bustle and byways, for the voice that told their stories in song is gone. Dick Stahl, our first poet laureate, and to us poets, a mentor and a guide, our north and our pole star. How you sang of the rivers and the bluffs, and the little towns and their street names, of fish frozen in blocks of ice, painting in poetic song the sounds and smells of our pioneers and our better angels, and always original. Dick, you were a calm and steady voice, a poetic shoulder, yet an objective and an honest one, a little above, like our beloved eagles, your eye also on the river. You would have written of this new bridge in lines capturing in one fell swoop its fragility and its monumental strength, just like us, you would ironically suggest. And all the time, you would have found a way to weave the arches of that bridge into the arches of your poem and of your life and of your everlasting love for Helen. So sing, Dick Stahl, sing. That's really nice.
It is nice.
I'm just disappointed. I wrote an occasional poem for this event.
Well, I think you need to read it.
But you didn't, and I will... I'll burn you about that for a long time. But this is, when we talked about, I just wrote this very quickly. A sight, a sound, a shape. What his eye captures, his mind distills into a context, a sentence, a poem. In Mississippi's thrall, he drinks the river, breathes it, lives it, and then he writes.
That's very good, Don.
Well, it's an occasional poem. But anyway, I think, you know, you motivated him to write poetry, as you motivate many people to write. And, you know, as I say, you're responsible for it.
Well, I'm responsible for opening something up, turning the light on, but the light burned pretty bright all by itself without my help.
There are many poets in our community, and perhaps it seems unfair that we concentrate on this one, but he was a special poet. He was our occasional poet, and we wanted to take this occasion to pay a tribute to Dick Stahl and his memory. And with that, we have concluded another half hour. We'll be back next week. We're going to get into some poetry because Dick Stahl has gotten us into the mood. We're way past the poetry month, but who cares? Poetry works anytime. I'm Don Wooten with Roll Tweet. See you next week on Scribble.